Blog Talk Radio.
I would like to welcome everyone to John Talk Radio. This is December the 9th, 2020, and this is episode, I should think it's like 1029. And my special guest tonight is Terry Draper, and Terry Draper has a new album out, and his new album is called Lost, and we just heard the title track from the album. And if you want to know all about Terry and how to purchase the album, go to terrydraper.com, and I believe it's available now on CD, and Terry can tell us more about that. But Terry, welcome to the show.
Hello, John. Nice to be here again and again and again. How many times have you and I done this? We were talking earlier, and at least a half a dozen, maybe more.
Yeah, it's got to be that. I'll check it out, and so I can keep it. It's nice to know that. You know, I mean, it's been a while, and I just really appreciate that we can do this, and that we can do this when you have a new album out. And I'm thrilled with this one. This is a special one, and I think that, you know, we can let the listeners know this. You know, I don't know. This is kind of cool about this show being podcasted, and I've gone back recently. I do a couple of newspaper articles for our local paper, and I go back sometimes, Terry, and I go and revisit some of my interviews and some of the relationships I've had with some musicians, and I'm just really blessed to be able to do that, and I'll definitely do that with you. But it's one of those things where this is a special year. There's never been, thank God for that. There's never been one like this before. And we want to talk about that. We want to talk about how 2020 has affected Terry Draper, and how as an artist and as a person that creates music, and you have a great sense of being able to portray stories in your songs. And we are in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, and it's gone on way longer than people anticipated, and we're in a pretty rough area with it right now. Now, Terry, if you could start off with just telling us how Lost came, how this whole concept of the album came, and then is there any connection with the pandemic?
Well, there is and there isn't, John. Lost is a song I wrote a few years ago, actually, and I resurrected it because of this pandemic and the times that we're living in. And, you know, most people immediately think the word lost has a negative connotation, but not for me. Hmm. This song is all about traveling and seeing the rest of the world and discovering new cultures and being lost in a new environment, and you know, taking it in, breathing it, living it. 2 years ago, Anna and I went to Peru for 2 weeks, and it was just fabulous. We rode the Inca Trail up in the Andes on horseback on my birthday.
Wow.
And we went to Machu Picchu and the plains of Nazca, and I swam in the Amazon River. How cool is that? and my favorite thing to say to Anna is, I look over at her and I say, you know what? We've never been on this road before.
Wow.
So for me, it's all about. I remember we were in Lima one day, Lima, Peru, and we crossed over this bridge in the heart of the city, and all of a sudden we were on the wrong side of the tracks, and it was an impoverished part of the town, and everybody looked at us like, you don't belong here. And so there we were, lost in Peru, and my Spanish is particularly bad. I can get a cold beer on a good day. I can get two, or I can get three. That's how good my Spanish is, John. But so the whole idea of the song Lost, it doesn't have a negative connotation for me. It's all about It's all about discovery and looking ahead. And God, I miss traveling.
Yeah. It's it's amazing how that you've had those great experiences and how that you have you've had that. Right now, you know, you have those good memories, but we have to, like, I haven't been anywhere really at all since March. I mean, I go to the store, Terry, and things like that, but we stay home, and I get kind of lost sometimes in different things in art. And that's one thing I was thinking about, you know, I can start thinking about the situations and some of the negative, like you said, the negative connotations of loss. And then I've started sketching and doing drawings and things like that. And I seriously get lost. I'm gone. I'm not there anymore. I'm not in the pandemic anymore. I'm in this world where I'm creating these crazy little goofy creatures and all this stuff. And I'm in a different place. Is that kind of how, I mean, you wrote the song Lost a couple of years ago, but tie that, the album and what, I mean, it was released in this year and people are going to relate to it in 2020. So how do you, like the creative part, Terry, how does that connect in? I mean, you feel when you were out traveling with Anna, you were lost, but now how do you feel? Like there's a part of you that's lost or a part of the, of your creativity. How's your creativity right now during all this?
Well, that hasn't changed. I mean, you know, when you're writing music and recording, it's a solitary occupation for the most part. And so the pandemic hasn't really affected me because I'm pretty much at a stay-at-home, work-alone kind of person. I mean, this is how you get there. But, you know, you're telling your little story about drawing and creating these little creatures and disappearing into the void and getting lost. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what it's all about. You need to, you know, most of it was verbatim. Getting lost in a foreign country and discovering the culture and yourself along the ride. And yep. But now in a more esoteric mode, it's about getting lost within yourself and dealing with your situation and rising above it.
Yeah, and I think that's incredible. And I think that you've done that with me. I mean, when I listen to this album, when I listen to this music, there's always this, with your writing, Terry, there's always like a mystery and a mystique to it and a story to it. And I love that. And when you go back to me sitting at my little place doing my drawings, and Marcy will walk in and see me, and she said, "You look so peaceful." And I think, well, there's no pressure. You know, I'm just creating. I'm getting it out. I'm just sitting here and I'm just letting things just kind of go. And my daughter is a therapist, and she said that that's like an excellent thing to do. So I would imagine, Terry, that writing a song during this period of time has got to be quite a release for you. Is that true?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's all about getting lost in the music, in your art, in your caricatures and your scribblings, if I can say that. You know, that's all part of it, dealing with it. And I guess a lot of people are having a problem dealing with it. And luckily, I have somewhere to go and hide. And this album is full of songs about being what I would call being over there. Not being here, but being over there. One of the songs is called "The Sun Never Sets on the British Empire," about the Victorian era, when the Brits ruled the world. Another song is called The Sultan's Dream, and that's all about the fall of Constantinople in 1453. I mean, I don't know how, you know, whatever inspires you is important, and you take those inspirations and have fun with them. And that's what I was doing with this album, and I Am Voyager is about Carl Sagan's brainchild, the Voyager probe that was sent out in the late 70s. And I watched this documentary on it one night, and I thought, well, how cool would it be if we got a real message of from Voyager, with him telling us, or her telling us, forgive me for that faux pas, but from Voyager telling us what it was seeing and its journey. And I thought, well, that's fun. And so I got into this whole spacey thing, and, you know, and so this album is about being somewhere else. And during a pandemic, that's a damn fine idea, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's good, especially if you can go somewhere else and you know, you don't have to you know, be exposed to different people and all the different things that are going on now with the political things. And it's just, to me, I believe people should have their own thoughts and beliefs and things like that. But I'm a man, you know, I'm believe in peace, and I believe in truth, and I believe in love, and I believe that people are here for a reason and a purpose, and I don't think that we can waste any time. I think that this is a time where through your music and through listening to music, and by artists are now being able to express a lot of things. And I think you're either the second or the third person I've had on that have, well, might be more than that, but have released albums during this that really have expressed how they feel during this time. And I just think that's incredible. I mean, it's a gift, you know, when you can do that. And I just, the people that are out there listening, I highly encourage you to go on terrydraper.com and get this latest release, Lost. Is there, how about the, where else is it available, Terry, the album?
I think it's in some stores as well. I have an agreement with a large distribution company in America called MVD, and they put my stuff in retail stores. I do believe there's some still left out there, John, and they have an online presence. And they, you know, they help me reach out. But generally, I live in this little cocoon here. Unfortunately, at the moment, it's just north of Toronto in Canada, and we had 4 inches of snow last night. Normally,
wow.
At this time of year, I'm living in Clearwater, Florida. We have a residence down there that we winter at because nobody wants to be in the tundra, trust me, unless you own a snowmobile and your name is Nanook. But this year, the borders are closed, and
yep.
And we're a little nervous about going home, our winter home down in Clearwater. And so here I am up here in the tundra.
You know, I might have asked you this before, but I have asked this to a number of songwriters about how environment affects their songwriting. And do you have the same creativity, the same feel that you do in Toronto area that you do in Florida? Or do things change a little bit creatively that you – I've talked to this guy who was writing music here, and I think he went to, like, Paris and overseas – and he said everything, the environment and everything changed him. And the way he wrote changed, and the way he saw things changed. And I just wondered if environment has anything to do with that for you.
Yes, it absolutely. We do a lot of traveling, and wherever we go, I like to send home a postcard. And I don't actually send home a postcard with a stamp on it. I write a little poetry during my travels, and then I get back home with some kind of musical instrument and turn that into a little song about my travels. I have songs called Afternoon in Amsterdam, Paris in Spring, Winter in Peru, all sorts of these things touch me, and I tell people about it. That's just the way it goes. But when I can't get out of the house, I'll still go on doing those kind of things. And from inspiration, I mentioned earlier this song called The Sultan's Dream about the fall of Constantinople. I was watching a documentary on Netflix, I believe, called The Ottoman Empire. And it was so powerful that I wanted to sit down and write some music that sounded like that era. And just have some fun with that musical idiom that I'm unfamiliar with, of course. It's not Western music; it's Middle Eastern sort of, and in a different modality. And so it was fun to explore that, and also the ideals that they embraced at the time. And
right.
Out comes this new song. I wasn't in Istanbul when I wrote the song. I was living vicariously in order to get lost.
Yeah, that's great. Why don't we play that? That would be a really good segue into that song. I mean, and one of the things that, about this album that, for the listeners out there, I mean, Terry goes all sorts of directions. It's not like I'll listen to an album and every song kind of, you know, you can tell the songs kind of all kind of list in a ladder and they're all sound similar. You go all over the place, and in yours, I mean, you're hitting all sorts of different chords and things like that. And when we come back and talk about The Sultan's Dream, we'll talk about how that you captured that through your writing of that music. But my guest is Terry Draper, and we're going to play The Sultan's Dream, and this is from his latest album, Lost. You can go on terrydraper.com, and we'll be right back with Terry after this, so stick around.
Bu surları aşacağımızı biliyorum. Düşmanı dize getirmeden şehadet şerbetini içmeden.
Descendants of grandfather.
And we're back with Terry Draper on John Talk Radio. I'm your host, John Darlington. We do this every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And we've been doing this since 2008. And we're going to keep on doing it. And we also have what we call Independent Music Showcase 50-minute music breaks every Tuesday and Thursday for 15 minutes at noon. And we like to play a lot of independent music and alternative music during those times. So if you're into that, please tune in. And Terry, talk about when you wrote this song, because you were talking a little bit about the culture behind it. When you hear that, you hear the chords, and I'm not, I can't read music, and I have never written anything, but you can tell by the minor chords and by the rhythms. Is that when you started to look into this and to study on how you were going to do this type of song? What work did you do to understand that? I mean, you can. I hear that, and I know, you know, that culture just by the music. So, what did you do to work on that?
Well, you know what? I have been in Turkey, and that part of the world, and I have a small understanding of what's going on. But when I set out to do this particular song, I did some research and Googled Ottoman war music and found some things that I found really interesting and didn't necessarily use them, but I recreated them. And here's what it's all about, John. For me, it's I believe that as long as I continue to amuse myself, I may be able to amuse others.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And yeah, so I'm exploring. I'm looking at different genres, and this one in particular, it's quite obvious. I've gone to the Middle East and the Ottoman world, and looked at this and did the research about, their beliefs, and it's all about their ancestors and the lineage and their history. And so I put this thing together after watching this program about the fall of Constantinople, when it was when Constantine got killed that night, that during that episode, that siege, and Constantinople became Istanbul, and Istanbul was the Sultan's dream. To take down Constantinople, and I thought, well, this is cool, and I just got carried away and had a great deal of fun doing this, and I don't think it's going to be like a top 10 hit anytime soon.
Well, you know, you said something that was so interesting. I just got to talk about it. You said that you amused yourself, and I think that's so important, because when you're writing something, you have to sometimes, I'm sure that you do this, and you sit back and you think, oh, okay, this I can maybe push over here. This I'll work on later, but this is something. I think I hit something here. And I think that's that really cool feeling when an artist does that, because I'm sure, I don't know about you personally, but I would imagine you're pretty critical of your own work. I mean, you work on it to get it where you want it to be. And when you listen to it, you want to tweak it and do things like most artists do. But also, I think it's when you feel, hey, this is pretty good, there's nothing, it's not like, you're being boastful or proud or anything. It's real. I mean, it's like, okay, that works. Is that how it goes with you, Terry, when you're doing something like this song or like one of the other songs, and you think, man, yeah, that works pretty well. Okay, I think I got that.
Absolutely. I have dozens of songs that I've written and recorded in the last 10 years, let's say. And I make it a point of everything I create and write, I make a recording of it. I just go through the process of making a recording of it, and I have dozens of recordings that will never see the light of day because they're just not good enough. I mean, it seemed like a good idea at the time when I wrote the song, and then I followed through and made a recording of it and did the best I could, But all in all, it's substandard in my opinion. So it's just sitting there in the basement and not going anywhere. On the other hand, sometimes you get lucky and you get inspired and you get excited, and the next thing you know, it's one thing leads to another, and it all sort of comes together. And those are the songs that end up on my albums.
Out of this, out of Lost, you have, I think, 14 songs on here. How many were in the run for this? I mean, how many songs, Terry, did you have maybe that you thought would be good on this that didn't make it? Because I know that that's important to an artist, to pick the songs that he thinks or she thinks that's going to represent the feel of the album. So did you have quite a few, or was this, how did that
No, work? there was a few, because of this is the most eclectic collection of songs I put out. And when I say the word eclectic, I think what I really mean is quirky. There's a bunch of weird little tunes on this record. Another one that strikes me as odd is The Sun Never Sets on the British Empire. When I originally wrote the song and recorded it, I was singing the verses, and it just wasn't working. It just, you know, it wasn't compelling. And I got a friend of a friend who does voices. I got him to just narrate, just read the lyrics I'd written, never mind singing it, just do the narration. And I said, can you do a young Winston Churchill? And he said, oh, I can do that. And of course he did. And what's funny is when I sent him the finished version with his talking on it, he emailed me back and he said, hey, I played this for my wife. She says, it sounds like Richard Burton meets the Hollies. And I said, you know what, Karen, that's exactly what I was trying to do. That is so cool.
That's amazing.
And so, everything is kind of off the wall. So there was a bunch of songs that were A-listed that just were so normal and ordinary. I mean, they were good, some of them not so good, but they just didn't seem to fit in this collection of misfits.
Yeah, that's got to be, it's just kind of a feeling that you have when you, I'm going to ask you a question that I got from a songwriter friend on Facebook not too long ago, and I thought it was a good question. He asked people, when you're creating something, Terry, when you're writing it, which process to you is more important, the creating process itself, or do you get more out of, you know, the writing and the studio work and all that, or presenting a finished product? Does that make sense? Which one is to you the most important? I mean,
well,
I think,
well, you know what, John?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what, when you have a blank piece of paper in front of you and then you spend a couple of hours scribbling on it and there's something there now that didn't exist before, i.e.
yeah,
a song, that's pretty cool. But for me, the real thrill is taking that piece of paper and going into the studio and arranging it and picking the different instruments and the different, you know, rhythms and whatever, and putting that across, taking that idea from that piece of paper and turning it into something audio. And there's a lot of choices to be made, you know, the bass line and the chord progressions and all the it's a complicated process, but for me that is the best part is the process of putting it all together. I describe the piece of paper and the creation of the entity as a cake, and then when I do the recording, I put all the icing on the cake. And for me, the icing is the fun part. How about you when you eat cake? Do you like the cake or do you want the icing, John? Be honest.
Oh, I like the cake.
I like the icing.
Oh, man, I tell you what. You shouldn't have said that. I'm ready to go downstairs and eat a cake right now. But I seriously understand what you're saying in creating something. I mean, it's pretty cool if you think about it. It's never existed before, and now it does because of you or because of me or because of another artist. And I think that inspiration is what is so important right now, where a person, like you were talking, Terry, different people have been affected by this pandemic different ways. Some people have been can't seem to get that creativity going. I know a couple of people like that. And some people have done amazing work. And it's like, there's really no, you know, now you've got time, do it. So I just think that's a cool way to put that. I think you really did a good job on that. But the person that said that was Steve Stokel. I don't know if you know Steve. He's a friend
of Jamie Hoover's, no?
Oh, yeah. They were in the Sponge Tones together. Yeah.
Well, exactly. The song we just played, John, The Sultan's Dream, my good buddy that I've never met, Jamie Hoover, did the background vocals.
Yeah, he's an amazing musician. And, yeah, he and Steve.
Every time, I got to jump in here, every time I ask Jamie to do something, he actually does the vocals, the background vocals on three songs on this new album, Lost. And every time I ask him to do something, he always blows me away. He does things that no one else would hear or think of. He's a demented human, for sure. How he wraps his head around the stuff that he sends my way. And I've never met Jamie. We've corresponded for years, and he's been on quite a few of my songs over the years, but he never fails to amuse me.
Yeah, his stuff is great. It really is. And just recently, in the last month, I've gotten some music from a young man named Mike Browning who went to one of Jamie's classes, and he taught songwriting and production at one of the colleges where he lives. And this guy went and learned this and made an album, and I play his music on my show, which is really good. So that's cool. I love that kind of
big
stuff.
Shout out to Jamie Hoover.
Yeah. So let's play. You talked about The Sun Never Sets on the British Empire. Let's play that. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Terry, about this before we play it? Other than
I don't know. This is another one of those songs that's kind of odd. And I was watching a documentary about the Victorian age and the British Empire and the industrial era. And it was just, I got inspired, and I thought it would be interesting to talk about it. And so I tried to create this background of medieval-type music with a lute and a recorder and harp. And then when we come to the chorus, we break into a little rock band like the Kinks or something, you know, or the Hollies. I was just amusing myself, John, and having some fun. And here I say it again. If I can amuse myself, perhaps I can amuse others.
Well, I think it's great. Let's play it. This is The Sun Never Sets on the British Empire. This is Terry Draper from his latest album, Loss. You can go on Terry's website, terrydraper.com, and purchase that. And we'll be right back after this.
The sun never sets on the British Empire. In the golden age of Victoria, bless her. She ruled ruled the seven seas from 18 until her death. That was in 1901, when she drew her last breath. The sun never sets on the British Empire.
The Union Jack's unfurled above a quarter of the world.
The sun never sets on the British Empire. And with the birth of steam, rail and industry inadvertently conspire to advance social change and give the poor a fighting chance. Art and literature intend on raising their circumstance. The sun never sets on the British Empire.
The Union Jack unfurled above a quarter of the world. The sun never sets on the British Empire.
By the Royal Navy, they could weather any crisis. The sun never sets on the British Empire.
The Union Jack unfurled above a quarter of the world. The sun never sets on the British Empire.
We're back on John Talk Radio with Terry Draper, and Terry Draper has a new album out, Lost. Go to terrydraper.com and purchase it, and it's well worth it. It's just a great album. We've heard songs that today or tonight, and Terry has given us insight on this, and I think it's just great to hear how the songs come to being, and it's a good, great album, and I just always enjoy your music, Terry. It makes me feel good, and I great job. So I really like it. And
let me tell you right now that particular song, The Sun Never Sets on the British Empire, I do not necessarily support imperialism. I'm just making an observation about the British Empire.
Yeah. And that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like
I'm not saying I support it, and I think that, you know, that colonials should be under duress. I just am making an observation that the British, the Union Jack flew above a quarter of the entire world in the 1850s. That's amazing when you think about it.
Anyway,
let's carry on, John.
Well,
that was a disclaimer, so nobody barks at me for
yeah, I get it.
You know, I don't want to hear about the War of Independence and Washington and the Delaware and all that. Yes, I do not support imperialism, okay?
I get it. Well, I got a couple of things I want to ask. We just got about 12, 13 minutes left. Is there any shout-outs you would like to give to some of the people that helped you make this album? I know every time that you put out an album, you always get a lot of great people to help you out. You talked about Jamie and Hoover and a couple of other people. I just wonder if there's anyone else you would like to mention.
Absolutely, and I appreciate your asking that. My good friend, who I've never met, Dana Countryman, he's been on a few of my records, and on this particular album, him and his wife Tricia recorded on three songs, did background vocals, and Dana played some trumpet for me as well. And his wife just got out of the hospital, and she had some issues, but they're all resolved and everything is groovy. And a big shout out to Dana and Tricia Countryman for their help. And my good friend Bill Nadeau, that plays guitars, he's always there for me, lives, about 20 minutes away. And we went to the same high school, but years apart. But we have forged a powerful friendship. And who else was involved on the album? Yes, Probin Gregory.
He's
the,
awesome.
He was. What was the name of his band?
Well, I saw him play with Brian Wilson a couple of times.
Yeah, he's been with the Beach Boys for many years, but he was in. I can't remember the name of the band. Anyway, he played some ukulele for me, and on the same song, Lisa Michaels did some background vocals. So I've never met any of these people. It's like so totally cool to have this digital world that we live in. It's a great time to be alive, John. And I meet these people and say, hey, I got this song, and I think you can help me here. Are you interested? And I send them the song, and then they send me back their performance, their contribution. And I dump it into, you know, my computer and lay it in and cherry pick the best of what they've accomplished in my favor. And there you are. It's like, wow, you know, I didn't have to go to Oregon to record Dana and Tricia on my new album. They mailed their parts in, you know.
Yeah. And that is incredible. Yeah. It is cool. So one other thing I was thinking about when I was thinking about our conversation tonight, I was thinking about you and I both have one thing in common is I believe our, love for the music of John Lennon. Yesterday was the day that he was murdered, and it's a sad, incredibly sad day. And I just thought if you could share a couple minutes, Terry, of what you thought John Lennon meant to you personally with his music, and not only just his music, but I mean, I know that he is an inspiration to a lot of people, and you and I have talked about this before about the Renaissance of music and things like that, but what did John Lennon's music and his inspiration mean to you and to when you were in Klaatu and when you're doing your solo work?
Okay, well, that's now we're going to go on a bit of a serious note here, John. John Lennon was my favorite Beatle. My wife's favorite Beatle was Paul because he's so cute. But for me, John Lennon was the man. He's responsible, in my opinion, for marrying socially important lyric to pop music. Up until, pre-Beatle, everybody was singing, I Love You and The Sky is Blue. And, nice love songs and interesting stuff. But John was the first guy that came along and made the lyric more important than just a love song and a ditty.
Right.
In My Life is the one that comes to mind. But my favorite, my personal favorite, is Nowhere Man.
No, oh, that's
wherein
amazing song.
He talks about, I think it's an autobiography. I don't know that, never met the man. But in my opinion, it's an autobiography about him and the struggles of day-to-day life and living. And I'm a real nowhere man living in a nowhere land. And that is the marriage of meaningful lyric with pop music.
Right.
And that legacy will last forever. I mean, and then it blossomed from there all the way up to Imagine, which possibly is the best pop tune ever written, in my opinion, way more important than Hey Jude, if you ask me. So, Lennon, huge impact. In fact, the last Klaatu album has a song called December Dream.
Right.
That was not written necessarily about John, but when we recorded it in 1980, I reworked some of the lyric to make it a tribute to the demise of Lennon. And that's when I hear that from time to time, it still brings a tear to the eye. Yeah, no, Lennon. The most powerful musical person in my world.
Yeah, and I just wanted to ask you this. When you did write that and you were writing the words, it was so fresh. I mean, that had just happened. And when that's – I mean, now people are writing things about it. And I just ordered the book today. James Patterson's new book called The Last Days of Lennon. And it's a nonfiction book that he wrote, and it looked really intriguing, and I thought I would read that. But you wrote that when the wound was very, very raw, and it was. What does that bring up in your thought process, Terry, when you hear that? I mean, is that?
Go ahead.
No, is it just resurrect those feelings? Because, I mean, writing something 20 or 30 years later is one thing, but writing it right after it happened, that's pretty incredible.
Well, it was powerful, and we were, John and Dee and I were extremely moved at the moment. One of the reasons we decided to record that song back then, it was a powerful moment, and it needed to be addressed. And I don't listen to that music very often. In fact, you know what? I don't listen to very much of what I've ever done. Mm-hmm. Once I finish an album and recording a song, and I sort of treat them like orphans. I throw them out there for the universe to devour, or whatever verb you want to use.
Yep.
I just sort of, they're orphans. They're just out there, and I don't listen to them again. I don't go back there. It's all about moving forward and looking for something else to inspire me and staying interested. You know,
that's
the thing, John. You got to stay interested. You got to find the heart of the matter in order to interpret it and regurgitate it. You know, you gotta, you have to stay engaged and find out what talks to you, and then take it and spit it back out. You know.
Yeah. Well, Terry, it's been great to talk to you. I just appreciate you being on tonight. It's great talking to you, and I can't wait till you have your next album out so we can do this again. So thank you so much.
Thank you, John. You know what? We have the most interesting conversations. You ask the weirdest questions and make me do a little soul searching, you know. It's always entertaining chatting with you, John.
Well, I really enjoy talking to you too, Terry. It's great. And for the people out there, this is Terry Draper. His latest album is Lost. Go on terrydraper.com and buy it. I highly endorse it and think it's super cool. And Terry, thank you so much. And I hope you have a great holiday. And hang in there, man, and keep creating things. And we're going to go out with the song I kind of think fits a little bit into this, There's No Going Back. So
thanks, Terry. Thank you, John. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I will make a new record, and we will talk again next year, my friend.
We will do it. So thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone that has supported this show through the years. And take care of yourselves and love each other. And we'll talk to everyone later.
If wishing could make it so, I'd be the first one to know. 'Cause I spend all my nights wishing, reminiscing. If dreaming made dreams come true, I would still be here with you, 'cause I